chapter number 1. Brethren, listen, if you're going by grace, you're going to make it. That's the only way to go. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I had no idea they were going to sing that song. And I've just been reflecting a little bit this week about the goodness of the Lord. And I just want to share some things with you, if I may. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. And I do mean this. Family, that was tremendous. I appreciate that. I'm so thankful that for my family, even those of us who don't get to sing, Brother David. In Philippians chapter number 1, I'm going to read with you down through verse number 7. And I've just got some thoughts on my heart, and I want to share them with you. It's very personal that I just want to share. But it's not about me. I want it to be about us. But more importantly, I want it to be about our God. And so let's just read this passage. And as I said, I just have some thoughts that I'd like to give to you to tell you that I really appreciate you. I appreciate my church family. And I appreciate my Lord. He has been so good to me. And I just want to share some things. You never know when you'll not have an opportunity to share some things that you need to share. And so I just want to encourage you now. You know, I don't know what it is. I think some of it's pride. I think some of it's just a hustle and bustle of life. As we've heard so often tonight, we take a lot for granted. We take people for granted. We take possessions for granted. We take God for granted even. I know I do. Listen, I want you to know something about your pastor. I'm broken. Okay, I'm a broke person. You say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, that's the truth. And when you realize you're broken, well, then you may get some help. We're broken people. You say, well, didn't God mend you? Yes, he did. But I'm still broken. I'm going to get my final fix. Are you listening? When I check out of this world. Amen. But until then, I just need God to keep having mercy on me. Amen. I am nothing, but he is everything. Amen. And I mean that with every fiber of my being. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, we are grateful that we have the word of God. And I pray that you would help us now as we focus upon your word. Thank you for the testimonies of your people. God, I'm thankful to be able to call myself a part of a people, the people of God. Thank you for making that possible for me, and placing me into your family. And this family in particular, thank you for this called out assembly of believers in this local church. And I pray, God, that as we look into your word, that you would encourage us all and help us, Lord. Help us not to be unthankful. Help us not to be ungrateful. God, we forget so much, and we just pray that you'd help us and bring to our remembrance the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. You know, this we're all very familiar with the book of Philippians. Well, most of us, I say all of us, I think most of us, probably a high percentage of people have read through it. I preached through it. You've probably heard it preached through several times in your Christian life if you've been saved for any length of time. And I was thinking about this epistle this week, how that Paul, when he wrote this epistle, he was thinking back over his life. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look, if you would, he said in verse number 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And so he was kind of thinking back, and no doubt he was thinking about the people in Philippi and the people in other provinces where he had went, and God had used him to preach the gospel, and how God was using his life and the people that he was interacting with and the people that were being saved and the work that was being done. And Paul said, you know, I want to write this letter, and I want to tell you some things. I want to tell you I appreciate you. He said, I appreciate the way that you have cared for me. Notice what he said. Turn over, if you would, just for a moment. In chapter number 4, he closed the epistle, and he said in verse number 15 of chapter 4, we'll go back to verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, ye have done well, or well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, I believe this is talking about financially. I believe Paul was saying, you know, you helped me when I was out doing God's work, and you helped supply the need. He said in verse number 15, he said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And even, he said, in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. He said, you know, you were always mindful of me, and you were always showing me gratitude. And he said, I want you to know I'm thankful for you too. And I thought about the church here, Fellowship Baptist Church. And so often when people stand up and they testify about the church, they always say, well, you know, we thank God for you, Pastor. We thank God for you, Pastor. And I'm thankful for that. I am. Don't take what I'm getting ready to say wrong now. But I just want you to know that it's God, brethren. It's God. You see, I don't care about people. Before I got saved, I didn't even want to be around people. God did that in my heart. God did that for me. God put his love in my heart. And I'm thankful for that. I'm still not all I should be. I'm broken. And God still works with me. And I'm still grateful to God for that. I am so thankful that God is still working on me. And that's what I've been thinking about this past few days. God's still working on me. I got saved as a 19-year-old man. Young man. I mean, Brother Larry used the word that I'm going to use. Stupid. I mean, I'm stupid. And God saved me in his grace. And I've made many mistakes. I can't even name them all. But I'm not up here to talk about my mistakes. I'm up here to tell you about God's grace. Listen, God has stuck with me. God has never left me. God has never let me down. I've let God down so many times, and God has never let me down. Not one time. I want you to notice something that the Apostle Paul, as we go back to chapter 1, and I'm going to work up to something here. Because I want to talk to you about how God sticks with you. Even when you walk away, God follows you. Even when you turn away, God turns with you. I want you to know that. You say, I already know that. Well, good. I want to remind you of it. Because sometimes we need to be reminded that God is not done with us yet. I've been talking with a man. He's a member of our church. And he says, you know, I just want to go home, preacher. And he's aged and he's elderly and he's hurting and he's sick. And he said, I just want to go home. And I said, well, brother, I said, when God gets through with you, he'll take you home. But not until he gets through. And he said, you mean God still has something for this old man to do? And he's kind of gruff now. And you mean God still has something for this old man to do? And I said, yes, he does. Because if he didn't, he'd take you home. And I'm glad God just sticks with us, aren't you? He just stays with us, and he just keeps working on us, and he just keeps growing us, and he just keeps... He's going to finish the work, and that's what I'm going to get to here in just a moment. You say, now preacher, can God still use me? I've walked away, or I haven't been all I should be, or I've kind of let my guard down, or I'm just not as passionate as I once was. Well, can God still use me? Not only can God still use you, God will still use you. God is still working on you. God is not through with you. Now, somebody needs to hear what I've got to say tonight. Because the devil is a liar, and he's telling you God is through with you. But I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, he's not through with you. And I'm going to show you what I'm saying here in just a moment. But before I do, I want to show you something that God laid on my heart. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. The Apostle Paul told these Philippian believers, he said, You know, he said, I want you to know that you're on my mind constantly. He said, I thank God in verse number 3 upon every remembrance of you. Isn't it good that God, when he saves us, puts us in a body of believers where we can make friendships and we can make acquaintances and we can make memories and we can have lasting memories. And here's what he said. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance. Don't you know that the Apostle Paul was going back when he was there in that province, and those people, that jailer and the people that were reading this in Philippi, where Paul had impacted their life, they had memories of Paul and he had memories of them. And he said, you know, when I look back, he said, I have some good, fond memories. Can I share something with you? Live your life, and I want to live my life to when I look back, I have good, fond memories. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be good. All right, I'm a little wiser than that. Doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out right every time. But what it does mean is that if we'll conduct our lives in such a manner as God would be pleased, then we can look back and we can have some fond memories with people, our brethren. I have some fond memories with this church family. And I believe that each of you could say the same. I have some fond. I heard it tonight. It kind of became the theme of the testimony service. And so this is what Paul's saying. He said, you know, when I think, and I want you to think about the mind, because that's what he's saying in verse number 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm thankful for your kinship and your friendship. Then if you'll notice in verse number 7, he said, I thank God not only, you're not only in my mind, he said, but you're in my heart. Look at verse 7. He said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. That's a good place to keep people. You know, I think you'll say less that you shouldn't say and more that you should say if we'll just keep people in our heart. Amen? Amen. It's easy to say things that you shouldn't say about someone. But what we should do, if we'll keep people in our heart, you know why we should keep them there? Because the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And when you keep people in your heart, you won't be saying things that you shouldn't say about them. And you'll have the right attitude toward them. And you'll have the right perspective. And when somebody messes up, you won't be so quick to judge them. Amen. And when they fall, maybe you'll be thinking, well, you know, that could be me. That could have been me that did that. That could have been me. And it may be if God doesn't help me. And so he said here, I have you in my heart. He said, I have you in my mind. When I remember you, I have you in my heart. Now look at this, and if you would, in verse number 4. Always at every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He said, I have you in my prayer. Brethren, I believe this is the way you have unity among God's people. You think fond things. You build fond memories. And when you look back, you can have a remembrance of those people with thanksgiving. And then you have people in your heart. And then you have people in your prayer. If we would do this, it'll continue to grow us together. But then he says, that's us. He said, I want to talk to you about what God is doing for you. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I just have three little simple things I want to say about this verse of Scripture. This scripture is one of the most powerful scriptures in all the Bible. I want to talk to you about confidence. Confidence. He said, now, saints of God, you be confident. Isn't it shocking how really so many people are living a life not of confidence but of doubt? And he said, you be confident. He said, I'm confident. You be confident. The word confident is, in the perfect tense, it's a settled persuasion of the mind that is a continuing result of a crisis in the past. And Paul said, I know what God took care of when he saved me. And I know what God takes care of when he saves people. And he said, so I'm confident. What are you confident of? The word confident is the assent to evidence, authority, is to rely. He said, I'm confident that what God has begun, are you listening now? What God has begun, he's going to perfect in your life. He's going to continue. He's going to complete it. And so don't you think God's through with you before he finishes with you. This is what Paul was saying. And so this is what I'm thankful for. There have been many times that God could have, listen, he would have been just to leave me to myself. There have been many times when I turned from God, he would say, well, that's what you wanted to do. Go ahead, go for it. But I'm glad God didn't leave me to myself. I'm glad God didn't turn me out to pastor. I'm glad, look at it here one more time, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath a good work in you will perform it now. Not you. It's not me. It's God. He's going to do it, you see. He's going to do it. Paul said, I'm not confident in me. Don't misunderstand what he's saying. I'm not confident in me. I'm not confident in my apostleship. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not confident of it. I'm not confident of my character. I'm thankful for that God gave me character, but that's not, listen, that's not where my stability is. I'm thankful for it, but I'm not confident in it. You understand what Paul was saying here? He's saying, be confident that God is going to complete his work in you. What is God's work in us, brethren? What does the Bible say God's work for us is? To conform us to the image. Romans 8. God is conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And God's not through with me. And so when you look on me, don't say, well, the preacher ought to do this, or I wish the preacher would do that. Well, he may one day, because God's still working on me. Until he does, just be patient. Amen? When you look at your brother that sits beside you, you look at the person that sits across from you, you look at the family that sits behind you, in front of you, don't say, well, what about this and what about... Well, God's still working on them, just like God's still working on you. God's still working on us, brethren. And don't take that as a negative. That's a positive. Aren't you glad God's still working on you? God's not through with us. Aren't you glad that this is not the finished product? I sure am. Hey, man, I'm broke. I need God to fix me. You're broke. You say, well, I don't realize it. Well, I pray God would help you to realize you're broken. You're broke. And we need fixing. We need God to fix us. And I'm glad God is fixing us. God is molding us. God is making us. God is growing us. God is completing us. God is perfecting us. And Paul said, I'm confident of this. I'm absolutely assured that what God started, he's going to finish. God's not a quitter. God's not a halfwayer. God finishes what he starts, amen. Amen. I'm glad for that. And so as I thought about this service, as I thought about Thanksgiving, there's so much we could be thankful for. And I heard it tonight and I thought, yeah, I'm thankful for all of that. I truly am. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. The last few days I've been thinking about this. I sure am thankful that God is still working on me. You know, I look back over the course of my life. This is what Paul was doing. He looked back. Look at that word, remembrance. He's reflecting back. And I've been doing that a little bit. And I've just seen the fingerprint of God on my life moving forward, how that God has just navigated my life. And he's just been there with me, and he's never left me nor forsaken me. Even when I was doing the stupid stuff, God was just there, and he was just helping me. And he said, I'm confident of this. It's going to help you too. Why is that? He said, because not only is this the confidence that belongs to we saints, look at it one more time in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it now. God's going to do it. See, I'm not confident in my ability. I'm not. And don't you be. I'm not confident in my way. I'm not confident in my flesh. We're to have no confidence in the flesh. I'm not confident in my knowledge. I'm not confident in any of these things. I'm confident in him. I'm confident in him. This is where my confidence lies. In him and what he can do. And this is what Paul was saying. You be confident in him. Why? Now watch what Paul does here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Now he's gonna perform. You bear that word out. I looked it up. It means he's gonna execute it, he's gonna perfect it, he's gonna complete it, he's gonna accomplish it. That's what God's gonna do in our lives. He's doing it, and he's going to finish it, brethren. Now, why is God going to do that? It's right there in that verse. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Because he's committed to us. You know, so often we talk about our commitment to him. I preach it, and I should. We should be committed to him. Amen. We should be committed to Christ. But that's not what's going to get us where we need to be. It's not my hold on him, brethren. It's his hold on me. Amen. He's committed to me. Just think about that for a moment. God's committed to you. God's committed to finish with you. God's not going to just leave you undone. God's going to finish his work. This thing's by grace, brethren. It's by grace. And God's going to finish his work of grace in our lives. He's not going to give up on you. He's not. And so he which hath begun, that's a commitment just to begin with me. Amen. You know what that took, right? Calvary. Right? The only way that God could allow me to be a part of his plan is through the access that I have to him through Jesus Christ. And he begun, he initiated, is what this word means. I looked at that word begun, it means to commence, to initiate, to put into motion. He has begun. And I'm glad God did. They say, well, I found God. You didn't find God. I went to God. No, he came to you. He came to you. He initiates, right? Right? God initiates. God's the one. He begun. In verse number 6, that good work, that word good means beautiful, virtuous. And that's what it is too, amen. He will perform it. That's not he might. Look how definite this is. How purposeful this is. He will perform it, brethren. God is going to finish his work in you. You say, preacher, sometimes I feel so weak. We are weak. But it's when we're weak, he is strong. It's through our weakness that God can show us strength. When we think we're all that, God has very little to work into our lives with. But when we realize who we are and who he is, now God can go to work. And so I just want to remind you that if you feel like, well, I don't know that God can still use me. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you just feel like that, you know, you have no purpose in life anymore. I don't know. I just know that this is what God laid on my heart. So somebody needs to hear this. So, well, maybe it was just you, preacher. Well, okay, then I'm going to tell you what I needed to hear. This. That I sure am glad that God doesn't give up on his children. I sure am glad that God is not finished with me. Even after these 40 years, 44 years of being a Christian, God is still teaching me, and God's still molding me, and God is still helping me, and God is still working with me, and God is still patient with me, and God is still long-suffering with me, and God still loves me. I'm so thankful for those things. And I don't ever want to get over that. And I need God to help me to remember these things, because I forget real fast. I do. So there's the confidence of the saints. There's the commitment of the Savior. And then last, there's the comfort of the Scripture. So he said, until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, one day all this is going to be over. You understand that? For us believers. We're going out of here. We're checking out of here, brethren. I don't want to sound all gloom and doom, but I tell you, I'm getting a little tired of all the sickness and pain and sorrow and hatred and division. I'll be glad when we check out of here. I really mean that. Now, I love my life. I thank God for it, so don't misread what I've just said. God has been so good to me. But if you've been living for a length of time, this whole world has a way of wearing on you. You get tired of the injustices. darkness, the sorrow, the hurt, innocency, being taken advantage of, the sin that's in this world, the evil, the wickedness. We have a job to do. I get that. I understand it, and I want to do my job as long as I'm here. I want to allow God to work in my life and do my part. I want to do what God has purposefully left me here to do. I want to fulfill my purpose. And I'm glad that He will work with me and on me to see that that is accomplished. But it's only until. Did you notice what it said? He will perform it until one day this thing's going to wrap up and we're pulling out of here. And I sure am glad that God has a better day of coming. Aren't you? One day, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more sorrow. I'm glad that day is coming soon. The songwriter said, what a day that'll be. Could I get you to do something? I want you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to sing. I just want you to stand as we close tonight. Turn to page 143. This is a song as I was sitting at my desk, literally weeping, thanking God for this great life He's given me. I couldn't have dreamed a life better than what I've lived. God has been so good to me. And I sure am grateful for it. I'm grateful for the goodness of the Lord. Shortly after Sharon and I got saved, I heard this song for the first time, Blessed Assurance. And I thought, wow, what a song. I didn't know who Fanny Crosby was. I didn't know she'd written hundreds of beautiful hymns. And I didn't know. I just remember hearing this song thinking, wow. And so I just want to kind of read it. Would you follow with me? Because this is my story. And this is my song. God help me to praise my Savior all the day long. Look at it. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. That's where I'm at, brethren. Right there. Watching and waiting. Looking above. Filled with His goodness. Lost in His love. And I can truly say with Miss Crosby, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Be confident now of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then He's going to take us home. He's calling us out of here. Amen. So what does that mean? That means God's going to be with you all the way through the journey. And then He's going to take you to be with Him. All right? That's the promise of God. Let's pray.